Hello, this is Chuck Swindoll. In my opinion, no picture does it justice, and I'd love to be there with you when you see the Holy Land with your own eyes. Plan to join us for this spiritual journey to the Land of Israel, March 2012. We'll gather at the Jordan River. We'll pray together in the Garden of Gethsemane and walk the stone streets of Jerusalem. You'll also stand on the southern steps of the temple. You'll walk along the Via Dolorosa. You'll see the fortress at Masada, visit the shores of Galilee, stroll down the Mount of Olives. My friend, once you walk where Jesus walked, you'll better understand what Jesus said, and you'll certainly gain new insight on how to live the way Jesus lived. In fact, it's likely you'll never read your Bible or live your life in the same way. So come with me for a personal and spiritual encounter that'll go with you the rest of your life. Israel, March 2012.
Call 888-447-0444. That's 888-447-0444. Or visit us online at insight.org/events.
The Insight for Living Tour to Israel is paid for and made possible by only those who choose to attend.
Today from Chuck Swindoll, Grace in Action.
I love the way one wag put it. Believe as I believe, no more, no less, that I am right, and no one else confess. Think only as I think. Eat what I eat, and drink but what I drink. Do always as I do, then and only then will I fellowship with you. Please. The one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who doesn't eat. The one who doesn't eat is not to judge the one who eats.
Whether it's the kind of music you prefer, the food you enjoy, or the entertainment you choose, you'll find a diversity of opinions from other believers. Sometimes our cultural preferences cause division among the family of God. Today on Insight for Living, you'll hear Chuck Swindoll resume a message introduced Monday based on Romans 14. We're looking at the first 12 verses. How do we avoid passing judgment on those who share different perspectives? How do we extend grace to those who may get offended by our lifestyle? Those are relevant questions as we approach this passage. Before we begin, let's ask God for wisdom.
Let's pray. We all look back with a measure of regret, our Father, over a year that has passed where we didn't handle everything exactly as we should have, or perhaps in some cases not near like we should have. And so there's guilt. There's disappointment in ourselves. There's the struggle of recovery from that. Some of us went through beastly trials that dropped us to our knees and on our faces. And we didn't know where to go some days, and hadn't been for you, who knows where we would have wound up. How dark are those nights? How long are those days? How gracious you are to get us through them. Some great blessings were experienced. Some mysteries began to unfold that still remain unsolved. And we sit in this place today acknowledging that you are our sovereign head, our God. We wait upon you for direction. We do not know what a day will bring. James tells us if we live, then we are able to plan to do this or that. But our very life is in your hand. The electronic, invisible pulse that prompts our hearts to beat is because of your touch in our lives. We hang very heavy weights on very thin wires. This year is yours. We give it to you, Lord, deliberately and intentionally. We place before you those we love. We cannot be with them 24/7, so we trust their safety and care to you. We ask you to put your warm and compassionate arms around those who are sad, those who have lost loved ones and grieve the loss, those going through a divorce, those families who are broken and fractured, those whose bodies lie limp on a bed facing death. Care for them, Father. Be the shepherd of their souls. Be gentle with them. Father, rather than spelling it all out, since you know it all, we simply lay bare ourselves before you. We have nothing to hide. We couldn't if we tried. We have nothing to prove. You've never asked us to do that. This worship time is all about your Son. It is about the good word that you have, by your grace, put into print in our language and preserved it for us to see with our own eyes and put to use. Now, Lord, some of these things to be said today are convicting, and I pray that not one ounce of pride or arrogance will appear in anything I say, lest I appear as though I'm some kind of model of this. These things convict me as much as anyone. So show us all together, every one of us, the value of your truth. May it make a difference, and may the result be, by your grace, the beginning of changes when we stop being so judgmental and start focusing on the things that draw us together. In the Savior's name, we pray. Everybody said, amen.
And now we're ready to hear today's message. You're listening to Insight for Living. Chuck Swindoll's message is titled, Grace in Action.
There have always been conflicts in the church. You cannot find an era in which some of the people of God are not at each other's throats, to put it bluntly. The goal is that we learn to live together even though we disagree. That's the goal. Accept the one who is weak in faith, not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. Look, we've got a divided opinion here, verse 2. One person has faith that he may eat all things. He's the strong one, called the strong one in this passage. He who is weak eats vegetables only. Feels like it's safer. My conscience says I ought to eat vegetables only. That's fine. For you, that's great. Don't make me eat vegetables only. That's your diet. Keep it to yourself. Buy what you want to buy, fix it, and eat it, but don't force it on anybody else. The one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who doesn't eat. Got it? It's just common sense. And the one who does not eat should not judge the one who eats, for God has accepted him. In fact, could very well say both of them. Both of them. I love the way one wag put it. Believe as I believe, no more, no less, that I am right. And no one else confess. Feel as I feel. Think only as I think. Eat what I eat and drink but what I drink. Look as I look. Do always as I do. Then and only then will I fellowship with you. Please. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the motto of many a church. Not Stonebriar Community Church. If you need a church like that, you need another church. If you want to turn this church into a church like that, you need another church. You do. You won't be happy here. There's a culture. There's a culture. We are not a Presbyterian culture. We are not a Baptist culture. We are not a Methodist culture. We are not a charismatic culture. Okay? We are an evangelical, independent Bible church culture. Somewhat similar to a few churches, but not like any other exactly. And we love it that way. That's probably why we're here. We don't like everything, but, you know, that's the way it is. By the way, just a little warning, before you jump up and change, be careful, because you're going to take yourself there. And when you do, you're going to like something there. So let's learn to live within the framework of this kind of grace. Look closely. The one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who doesn't eat. Verse 3. The one who doesn't eat is not to judge the one who eats. I love the way John R.W. Stott writes the summary. We are not to turn the church into a debating chamber whose chief characteristic is argument, still less into a law court in which weak persons are put in the dock, interrogated, and arraigned. The welcome we give them must include respect for their opinions. Respect for their opinions. We can get along very well if we commit ourselves in grace to respect one another. It doesn't mean we have to agree. What great advice for the new year, huh? What great guidelines to follow if we hope to remain a church in harmony with each other. While he's asking questions, verse 4, he gets right to the heart of it. Verse 4, great question, who are you to judge the servant of another? Who's the Lord if that's the servant? The Lord God. Since we're serving the Lord God, whatever we do, we ought to be doing for the Lord our God. We've all been saved out of a sinful past. We all come from varied backgrounds, different kinds, different convictions, but we still answer to the same Lord. Lord, make us one. Lord, hold us together. Lord, give us an understanding. Lord, give us a breadth. Lord, give us grace. Free me from feeling the need to straighten everybody else out or anybody else out. Didn't work on your children, so you ought to know it's not going to work on other people in the family of God. That's God's job. He's the one that has to wring his hands over people. That's what he does. Why? Verse 5, one person regards one day above another. Another regards every day alike. Did you know that that was an issue in the first century? Some came out of a deeply religious past, and they were converted to Christ, and now they're under grace and living in this church at Rome, the church that Paul writes, and they weren't observing the days. And some were saying, well, what about the festival? What about Pentecost? My goodness, what about Passover? I mean, and now that we're in the New Testament, now that we're in this era, what about Sunday? I mean, you're not going to desecrate Sunday and do that on Sunday, are you? And you'll find people that are like that. They make something of the days. If we live near a beach, we would be able to go to the beach on a Sunday, unless we have convictions that you shouldn't go to the beach on Sunday. Never could figure that one out, but Sunday's not a day to go to the beach. Sunday's like Thursday. Sunday is like Wednesday. It's like Saturday. It's like every day the same. You see the category I'm in. Now, you may feel Sunday's special, so you need to then set the mark and put the boundaries. Just don't put them on me. They're for you. That's fine. You want to live within that close framework? You know what? You have every right to. Be careful about jamming that down the throat of your kids, because they may not buy it. Your convictions you formed from your parents, quite likely, or maybe through some experiences you've gone through. And so your day is different. But look at verse 5. Look at the end. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. I love that. That's grace. You know what? You've got to think on your own. We had a person call us at Insight for Living and say, what does Chuck believe about so-and-so? And the guy answered for us at Insight. He said, actually, Chuck hasn't made a statement about it. No, I got to have an answer from Chuck. How are we going to know what to do if he doesn't tell us? Grow up is the answer. Not my job to tell you. You have the scriptures. You have Christ. You have your own life to live. Live it. Don't wait for me. If you get all of my stuff, you'll be led astray. Because then your conscience will hurt you because you don't feel you should do that. Or vice versa. You see, we're to be convinced in his own mind. He who observes a day observes it for the Lord, I would hope. Lord, this is your day. It may be Wednesday for you. You may work Sundays. You can't be a part of the fellowship. So Wednesday is your day of worship. And you do it for the Lord, and he who eats for the Lord. I believe in that. For he who gives thanks and he who eats not for the Lord, he doesn't eat. That's great. If you don't want to eat, don't eat. Just don't make me not eat. You want to fast? Don't brag about it. Just fast. Get thin. That's great. Don't try to make me thin. You see how it works? Some of you are already leaving. You think, how boring is this? I understand. It's so obvious. It's so obvious. But we have been so enamored of religion that we can't think for ourselves. Get a life. You are on your own, Christian. Glorify God. Connect with Christ. Stop making other people your reason for living. They'll drive you nuts. They'll tell you how to make every move if they get a chance. Don't let them. By the way, control and compare. Those are the killers. You get around controllers, they'll drive you nuts. You get around comparing people, that's another killer. Because somebody will always be better looking or thinner. Someone will always be brighter. Someone will always make more money or less. And depending on which, you'll fight pride or envy. Quit looking at people as your standard. We do it for the Lord. Not one of us lives for himself. Not one of us dies for himself. I love that seventh verse. Before our first service started today, we gathered as a small enclave of people. And we talked about one of our own here at Stonebriar who's dying. And someone said, how's she doing? And another had said, well, I talked with her husband this week. And every day she just moves closer to the end. And we all kind of sighed. You know why? Because we felt the hot breath of death in the back of our neck. Something of us dies. Because one of ours is dying. Last week, one of the guys here threw his arms around me and whispered in my ear, remember a year ago today? Yeah. Hey, that's when Lance died. Yeah. And we just kind of hung on to each other as we remembered him. And someone rejoices in how great it is when the body rejoices. How great it is. How wonderful that good news comes and we all go, terrific. Rather than, well, wonder what he pulled off to get that to happen. If we live, we live for the Lord. If we die, we die for the Lord. Whether we live or die, we're the Lord's. How good is that? How great is that? If we all believe that, then we're like a room full of pianos, all tuned to the same sounding, same tuner, same note. You don't tune them with each other, you tune them with the same tuner. That's Christ. They're all in tune. You can play 100 pianos in a room and there won't be one of them off key if they're all tuned to the same tuning fork. Now, I have to tell you, good people will disagree. I studied at Dallas Seminary. One of my eye-opening experiences with this was that not all the profs agree at every point. Now, I remember in my young immaturity, I would go, oh, I just heard Dr. Thing Fang say so-and-so about that, and Dr. Ding Dong says this about that, and how come Ding Dong doesn't agree with Thing Fang? And so I go back to Thing Fang. He'd say, I just don't agree with Ding Dong. And Ding Dong would say, well, you know, that's the way it is. I'd go, gosh. And I found myself saying, how am I going to know what to believe if you don't tell me? You know what they said? Grow up. What does the book say? You got a mind? Dig it out. Two men who lived in the Victorian era of great old England were Charles Haddon Spurgeon, 1834 to 1892. Didn't even live to be 60. Joseph Parker, born 4 years earlier and died 10 years later. Older and stayed on after Spurgeon was gone. They were fast friends. They exchanged pulpits, both great preachers. Hearing one was as great as hearing the other. What a great era, the Victorian era. Until Spurgeon learned that Parker went to the theater. So he criticized him because Joseph Parker, on occasion, was seen at the live theater. Speaking of that, sidebar, ding. When Abraham Lincoln died. He died in Ford's Theater. You remember that. The following Sunday, you don't know how many preachers said that he got what he deserved. He was in a theater. What a treacherous comment. What a terrible remark. That's how vicious we can become in our judgmentalism. Well, Spurgeon looked down on Parker. So Parker found out that Spurgeon smoked cigars. So he put him down for smoking cigars. We got two brothers that used to change pulpits. Now they're at odds with each other because of theater and stogies. Someone asked Spurgeon about his cigar smoking. He justified it, saying he didn't smoke to an excess. When asked what he meant by excess, he said with a twinkle in his eye, no more than two at a time. Now, you who laugh probably like a good cigar, okay? Maybe not. I don't care. I don't care what you smoke when you're out hunting or when you're out fishing or when you're in your home. I'd rather you not light up in here. But you smoke. It's your business. I'm not out on a crusade against whether you ought to smoke or not. And Joseph Parker's none of your business that Spurgeon smoked. Parker was never convinced that going to the theater was sinful. Spurgeon was not persuaded in his heart that puffing on a cigar was wrong. And it broke their fellowship. Come on. Come on. It bothered Spurgeon later on when he saw his face in an advertisement. This is the cigar Charles Haddon Spurgeon smokes. And then that broke him from it. That made a little difference because he saw how it impacted the world without Christ. It's another subject. But in the family of God, you tell me the two great men could not get along? They could not. Why? Because they weren't big enough to overlook each other's scruples. Are you? Have you stopped fellowshipping with somebody because they don't fit your convictions? I'm not saying you've got to marry them. I'm not saying you've got to, live next door. And by the way, when you enjoy your liberty, just enjoy it and keep your mouth shut. Now, before we get too pious, that's it. It starts to land pretty hard on us, doesn't it? Do I have convictions? I have convictions you know nothing about. They're none of your business. And I will not voice them on you because I can't find a book, chapter, and verse for that conviction. But I have that conviction in my life. So I sustain it. But that's mine. But you have the freedom to find out what yours are because you're going to grow and you're going to discover and you're going to learn. You're going to become stable. So when I'm gone, dead and gone out of your life, you'll have your own convictions. You won't need mine. You need yours. I don't care where you go in the scriptures. You have the freedom to guide your life as God guides you. And I'll stand behind you. I'm not saying it'll do you good. I'm not saying it won't harm you. I'm saying you have the freedom to make that decision. You'll never get the rules from this pulpit unless the rules are set forth in the Bible. Then you'll hear them. And I'll drive them home and they'll convict me just like they'll convict you. So there will be those who will disagree, and when they disagree, there are going to be weaknesses on each side. Look how he develops it. I love Paul's approach. Verse 8. If we live, we live for the Lord. If we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we're the Lord's. Point being, we answer to him. Our desire is to please him. What a great thing to remember in your life. Keep your eyes focused on Christ. When you try to please someone else, you'll fail. Or you'll fall under their thumb and they'll control you. They'll dominate you. Focus your life on Christ. Let him guide your decisions, guide your thinking. See what it says? Let everyone be convinced in his own mind.
If you've listened to Insight for Living for a number of years, you might have wondered why Chuck Swindoll has remained silent on the non-essentials. Yes, he has convictions, but many of those preferences remain unspoken because Romans 14 says, let everyone be convinced in his own mind. There's more on this topic, and we hope you'll stay with us to hear Chuck's closing comment. First, though, I suspect you might like to have a copy of today's helpful message titled Putting Grace into Action. It's part of a two-sermon series we're calling Balancing Grace with Love. You'll find it online at insightworld.org. And as we begin a brand new year of ministry together, there's nothing that would make a bigger impact on Insight for Living than growing our family of monthly companions. A monthly companion is someone who commits to give an automated donation every month. I'll give our phone number in just a moment, and we invite you to call and set this up with one of our friendly ministry reps. Be prepared to jot the number down. So many of our loyal friends expressed generous support just before December 31st. Chuck, we've had a number of listeners inquire about the timing of their donation.
Yes, we've had people call us wondering if it's too late to make a contribution. So I'm here to say today, it is not too late. Our faithful staff has returned to the office after their well-deserved holiday break, and they're back in full swing and ready to serve each one of you. So, take a few minutes to place that call or write that letter. Perhaps go online. Let us know that you're standing with Insight for Living by making a donation toward the ministry on your station. Thanks so much for helping us meet the need.
Whether you choose to give a one-time donation or become a monthly companion, we want to say thank you by providing a brand new and exclusive CD from Insight for Living. Chuck Swindoll preached a message called Stuff I've Learned That I'll Never Forget, 16 Essentials from the Last 50 Years. You'll love hearing this candid commentary from Chuck, sharing wisdom from his heart gleaned over 50 years in ministry. You'll want to hear Chuck's message and then introduce a friend to his teaching as well. If you're listening in the United States, just mention that you'd like the CD titled Stuff I've Learned when you call 1-800-772-8888. And online, go to insight.org. I'm Dave Spiker. Chuck Swindoll concludes his thought-provoking message, Putting Grace into Action, tomorrow on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Putting Grace into Action, was copyrighted in 2008, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2012 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide.